الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
The next story is the longest story of a Nabi in Quran. It is the story of Al-Kalim Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. Sayyidina Musa was mentioned in more than 30 positions or surah in Quran, and he was mentioned 124 times. One of the scholars said, كاد القرآن أن يكون موسى. Quran was almost going to become the story of Musa. The story of Musa was mentioned so many times in Quran that this scholar said, almost, Quran was almost going to be the story of Sayyidina Musa. 124 times. There's no other Nabi in Quran who's mentioned more than Sayyidina Musa. And there's no story that takes a longer space and span of Quran discussed in elaborate details in many positions of Quran like the story of Sayyidina Musa. Why? Is it because he's one of the greatest Anbiya? He's one of Ulul Azm, the five strongest prophets, which are Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibrahim, Musa and Isa and Nuh. These are the five. Is it because of that? Well, Ibrahim alayhi salam is also one of Ulul Azm. In fact, Ibn Kathir says that the opinion of the scholars is that the best Nabi after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam is Ibrahim. But the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is not mentioned as frequently. It comes nowhere close to the details of the story of Sayyidina Musa. So how come this story was mentioned in so much details in Quran? There is a few reasons. Let's go through them. Number one, the Ummah of Bani Israel are the last Muslim Ummah before the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know that there were many Muslim nations throughout history. The Ummah of Nuh, the Ummah of Adam, the Ummah of Hud, the Ummah of Salih. The last Ummah is the Ummah of Bani Israel. So they are the closest in proximity to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And since this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the inheritors of all of the former and previous messages, it is important for us to know the Ummah that was right before us, the ones who are preceding us. Number two, the history of Bani Israel is extremely rich with experiences. It is an ummah that lived for a long time, lasted for a while. They went through a lot. They committed a lot of mistakes. There was a lot of misguidance. There was a lot of conflict. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to have all of this experience in front of our eyes so that we could use it in our da'wah, in our long history as a Muslim ummah. The ummah of Musa went through experiences. Banu Israel, they went through experiences and they committed mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fall in the same particular mistakes that Bani Israel fell into, and that's why it's important for us to have a history to look back to. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَتَتَّبِعُونَ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you would follow the footsteps of the nations before you, step by step, inch by inch, foot by foot. Even if they are going to enter into a hole of a lizard, you would follow them and do it. The Sahaba said, are you talking about the Jews and Christians? Rasulullah said, who else? We are going to commit the same, we are going to follow the tracks. We're going to follow their tracks. We're going to do the same things they did. We're going to commit the same mistakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this wealth of information and experience so that it could be light for us, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, the nature of the conflict of Banu Israel is similar to the nature of the conflict of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the people of Hud, how were they destroyed? Violent wind. The people of Salih, how were they destroyed? By the sayha. The people of Lut, how were they destroyed? By the shaking of the earth and lifting them up and throwing them down. So did Hud alayhi salam and his followers fight in jihad against their people? No. Did Salih fight in jihad against his people, actual war? No. What about with Banu Israel? Did they fight against their enemies? Yes. And that's why one of the scholars said, since the Torah was revealed, it was jihad. It wasn't special punishments coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it was punishing the enemy through the hands of the believers. Instead of Jibreel destroying them or a violent wind, now since the Torah was revealed, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroying the enemy with the hands of the non-believers. And that is al-qital fi sabilillah. And that is why the nature of the conflict between the ummah of Musa and their enemies is similar to the nature of the conflict between the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his enemies. With the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we didn't have a violent wind destroying them or earthquake, even though sometimes Allah would send these miracles. But overall, it is through the hands of the believers the enemy is destroyed. So there's a similarity in the nature of the conflict. Number four, there are two halves of the story of Musa. One half is Musa and Fir'aun, and the other half is Musa and Banu Israel. There are two parts. Both of these are very, very important for us to know. The part of the conflict between Musa and Fir'aun is very, very important to us because Fir'aun is the symbol of tyranny, dictatorship, and oppression. And subhanAllah, we find that that is the problem that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering through. We have suffered from oppression and tyranny and dictatorship for a very, very long time. And that's why it is very helpful for us to know the story of Fir'aun. Because that is something that this ummah has suffered from for a long time, for centuries. We have suffered oppression. And the symbol of oppression in Quran is Fir'aun. So how can we deal with that oppression? It is the way that Musa dealt with it. We learn a lot of experiences from that. And also Fir'aun is a king. Power through kingdom. And that is how Islam is being fought against. It is through the governments and powers of the throne. And Dajjal is only an extension of that. Dajjal is a king and a throne who will rule over the world. So that is why the story of Fir'aun would have a lot of similarities between it and the story of Ad-Dajjal. And then we have the other part, half of the story of Musa, is Musa dealing with his people. How Musa dealt with the Muslim Ummah of his time, Banu Israel. When you see the faults and the problems of Banu Israel, even though they were the Ummah of Tawheed, the Ummah of Oneness of Allah, and you see the faults that we are falling into and getting into, you see how important it is to know the story of Banu Israel. In Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, there are ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The ones who did not rule according to the book of Allah are the non-believers. In another place it says the corrupt, and in another place it says the oppressors. Hudhayfa bin Yaman heard some of the tabi'in speaking about this, and they said these ayat were revealed speaking about Bani Israel. He said, Allahu Akbar. What better cousins to you are the children of Israel? Whenever there is something bad in Quran, you say it's speaking about them. And whenever there is something good in Quran, you say it's speaking about you. He wants to teach them a lesson that these ayat, even though they are speaking about Bani Israel, but whoever is similar to that and from this ummah would receive the same punishment. That is why Allah mentioned it in Quran. If you do not rule with the book of Allah, whether you are from Bani Israel or from any other nation, that is considered to be kufr, and it's considered to be dhulm, and it's considered to be fisq. Finally, the last reason that I have listed, and there are many others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked a lot about al-Yahud, because it was in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything al-Alim, that this band of people would be the enemies of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from day one until the day of judgment. Subhanallah, the Jews are a very small nation and they have been a very small nation for a very long time. For centuries, the numbers of the Jews is very limited. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the Hindus or the Buddhists or the Confucius, even though they are much more in numbers like He has talked about al-Yahud? Numbers is not the issue. Al-Yahud from day one until this day are the ones who are leading the war and the battle against Islam. They are the ones who are making the plans and the plots against this religion. The Yahud are the ones who supported the Munafiqeen in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are the ones who are supporting the Munafiqeen today. Al-Yahud are the ones who planned together and brought the Ahzab, the different Arab tribes together to fight against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Jews are the ones who are bringing today the nations of the world against the Muslims. The Yahud are the ones who were taking care of the word propaganda against Islam, and the Jews today are the ones who are taking the lead in the media warfare against Islam. From day one, they have been the enemies of the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will continue to be the enemies until the last generation of al-Yahud will be the soldiers and the supporters of al-Dajjal. And then it will be the end. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about this nation so that we would know. Allahu a'lamu bi'a'daikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He knows best who your enemies are.